Amen. Hey guys, how are we doing? Good. All right. No, really, seriously, how are you doing? Good. Yeah, come on. Yeah, all right. Hey, and if you know what, if you guys are really good, I might let you bounce in the bouncy house. I might. But I get, that's for me. No, the bouncy house is for me. I get to go in there and you can watch me jump. All right. All right. We'll see. We'll let us jump. We'll see what happens. Hey, how many of you guys have a grandpa? A couple of you. All right. You have two of them? What? And you have two grandmas in addition to those two grandpas. That's amazing. You got one? How many? You have four? Four grandpas. Way to go. Who can beat four? Anybody got five? You got five? Yeah, all right. You got five. All right. This is amazing. All right. Is there anybody here who likes spending time with a grandpa? Come on, Alex, raise your hand. Okay. Holding out on me in public. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? You got five? Yeah. Okay. All right. Five good grandpas. I'm a grandpa. Is there anybody here whose grandpa I am? Oh, my goodness. Almost all of you. Okay. All right. Yeah, add that to the list. Okay. You just expired your leeway there. All right. Well, you know what? Guess what else? Grandpas are usually old. Did you know that? Do you know? Is he really old? Really old, yeah. Like, oh my goodness. Well, I'm 70. Oh, wow. I'm 70. Woo! Hey, Alex, I love you, buddy. All right. Yes, little Libby. Abby. Oh my goodness. Charlotte. Yeah, I know, sweetie. Oh, Esme. God bless you. I'll be all you. Oh, Roman. Yeah. Jay. Wyatt. Okay. Well, okay. All right. Come on, Charles. Come on. Yeah. All right. Okay. We'll just do this for the rest of the service. Okay. Listen. Here's the deal. The deal is that all I've ever wanted to do since I gave my heart to Jesus is follow him. And I feel like he has led me to some pretty cool things like this church, right? And he's let me be the pastor of this church, and I could be the pastor of all you little munchkins. And it's been awesome. It's been wonderful. But listen, I'm going to follow Jesus, and he's asking me to do more grandpa time. Yes. Yes. And less pastor time. So I'm not going to be the pastor here after today. I'm just going to be here, and I'm going to be grandpa here, okay? So can you guys all handle that? I'll just be Grandpa Tom. And I'm going to spend more time with my grandkids, but I'm going to be here also spending time with you. Well, every day. Okay, Libby, I'll try. All right. So that's going to be a little different, okay? And I just wanted you guys to know that it's going to be just a little different, and I won't be here as much as I am now, but I will be here still some, okay? And I love you guys, and it's been wonderful to be Pastor Tom here, and we're just going to keep following Jesus together, right? All right, that's it. You can call me anything you want. Yeah, if you still feel, you can call me Grandpa. All right, you can call me Pastor Tom if you want. And what are you going to call me?
My brother.
What? I'm kind of wondering if I should not even, you know. Okay. What are you going to call me?
Papa.
Papa, okay. All right. All right, so hey, you guys, let's all pray, okay? Because we trust Jesus, and if Jesus asks us to follow, we follow. And this is what he's asking me to do. And I will see you guys as you grow up and watch you, and I'll just be Grandpa, Pastor Grandpa, Grandpa Pastor Tom. I don't know what I'll be. Well, to be discovered. All right, can you guys pray with me? All right, dear Jesus. Well, you got to repeat me, okay? Dear Jesus,
thank you
for leading us.
And thank you
for leading Pastor Tom
and this church.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you guys. I'll see you at the bouncy house. To win. All right, you know what, you guys, there's and when the kids leave, that frees up some seats, so if you want to move, if you've got some gaps, you can move in, and some of the people that are in the back that are standing can come in and sit, unless they're fine out there. There is, those seats out in the lobby seem to be the favorites, so I guess we'll see if anybody needs to come in and fill those up. All right. Wow, that was fun, huh? It reminds me of when I used to do children's messages, and it reminds me of why I stopped. Wasn't that fun? Yeah. Oh, no, it was. It was great. Those guys are awesome. Isn't it great to have all of them?
Yeah.
That's the blessing. That's the blessing of the future of our church. So, hey, there's a passage here in Philippians that I knew I was going to read one day, and I've got Bradley Epworth written next to it. I don't know how long ago I did that, but I really didn't want to. I didn't want to get to this passage, and yet here it is. And so I'm going to share it with you. It's Philippians 1:3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending the gospel or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. And God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Well, I've never wanted to read that prayer because I knew I would be reading that scripture on the day that I was no longer senior pastor here anymore. Didn't know it would look like this or be like this, but here it is. And I want to say to all of you who are here, I just say welcome, especially to those of you who are not part of Bradley Epworth, but you're here to honor who I am and who Bradley Epworth has been in your lives and just to be a part of us. And that is such a sweet blessing. That is such a welcome and such a joy and such a blessing. So thanks. And there's my kids. Oh, I'm missing one. Oh, okay, some of them. Yeah, right. Missing two. Childcare, yeah. All right. But I just wanted to say to all of you, thank you. and especially to say thank you to Vicky, who has who led us in worship this morning beautifully. Yes. Thank you, sweetie. Yeah. And I wanted to say thank you to my kids, Pat, Tim, John, Bethy, and Michael are taking care of the children. But thank you for making the sacrifices as children without, you know, having that choice, for what it required for me to fulfill my responsibilities here at the church in the way that I thought I needed to. And if in any way that, you know, left you feeling left out at all, I'm sorry. I love you. And I thank you for your joyful, gracious, loving attitude in your hearts towards me always, always. I never felt anything except that from you guys. So Pat, Tim, and John, you'll have to share that with Bethany. Oh, there she is. And Michael. and I'll do it personally. But I want to also say thank you to God for his faithfulness, because if it hadn't been for God's faithfulness, I wouldn't be here right now. Good morning, Angel. All right. Do you need Lila, Ashley? You're okay? All right. God's faithfulness to me began very early in my life, before I even knew it. I didn't know what was going on. But when my parents divorced, my mom had a breakdown, and we were just pretty much lost. I was 8, and we stopped going to church, and I never went to church again until I was 18. And I asked my mom once, how did you make it through those days? And she said, Tommy, I just kept praying over and over again, God, take care of my children. God, take care of my children. God, take care of my children. And I attribute those prayers to the fact that I'm standing here today. She made intercession, as only a mother's pleading heart can. And God heard them. And in many ways that I could have gone off track, he kept me hemmed in. And I bounced against those borders, but he kept me hemmed in. And then he sent a young man to share the gospel with me in high school, one of those Christians. It's like, oh Lord, no, here he comes. And he shared the gospel with me and said all I would have to do is pray to receive Jesus. And I said, no thanks. So he came back again with his mentor and from Campus Crusade for Christ and shared the gospel with me again. And so did his mentor. And I said, oh Lord, here we go. Now there's two of them. I got two Christians that are hunting me down. And again, I said, no. But something in what he shared hooked my heart. And it, can you go get Lila? Thanks. Jesus, thank you for Angel. Thank you for Ashley. Ashley is one of my heroes. And I just thank you for her and ask you to continue to bless her and help her in all that she has taken on in love. And I thank you for Angel, because she is an angel. And we just thank you, God, that she's here and she's part of us and that we get to minister to her and her mom, Ashley, and her sister, Lila. Thank you, Jesus. It's an honor and a privilege that you've given to us. And we thank you for it in your name. Amen. 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 You know what? I think Angel's just feeling the room. She's probably getting the vibes from me. And inside, I'm doing that. No, I don't want to go. No, I don't want to go. So she just picked that up and was acting it out. So God's faithfulness to me has been so good and so wonderful and so powerful. And something hooked my heart when I heard the gospel, but it didn't really solidify until I went to the drive-in theater to watch Jesus Christ Superstar. Right. Now that's one that'll get you, right? Yeah. That's inspiring. I had hair, yes, I had hair. I could have been in that movie. Yeah, and they would have thought, hey, he's just one of the disciples, big hairy guy. And don't try to imagine it. It's not a good look. Too late, all right. But playing is the double feature with Jesus Christ Superstar was a movie about St. Francis of Assisi called Brother, Son, Sister, Moon. And that is the one that hooked me because what I saw was, and it was awesome that we sang the song that he wrote the words to here today, All Creatures of Our God and King. So he was kind of a nature hippie guy. Yeah, it's funny. What I saw, you guys, I saw a man who gave everything to get the treasure that God had held out to him. And I was like, wait a minute. He came from a wealthy family, he had a lot of wealth, he had a great future. His dad had a business that was just really producing a lot of wealth, and he walked away from all of it. He walked away from everything. He even took his clothes off, and that's not a good scene in the movie, but so I'm not recommending it. But he took his clothes off and handed them back to his parents. And he just walked to follow Jesus because he wanted to give everything and get totally set free to simply follow the gospel. And I saw that and I said, I want that. I want that total and absolute surrender to something other than me, something other than my life, something that's bigger than me, greater than me, eternal and real and true. And it was like, but it's going to require an all or nothing. There's an all or nothing here. And I want the all. I want the treasure. Jesus said there was a man who found a field and he discovered a treasure was in the field. And he was like, whoa. And he went and sold everything he had in order to buy that field because he knew there was a treasure in it. And I was like, that's it. That's what Jesus is talking about. Francis found it and I want it. I want that. And so I determined that I would get it. I went through confirmation classes as a Catholic. And I went into the confirmation with a lot of hair, Jim, and a beard, and my little choir skirt that came down above my knees. And I was in there with all the seventh graders. And we walked in the church, and the little old lady sitting in the back, she goes, she elbows her friend, she goes, he's not one of ours. Like, we don't know where he came from. He looks like he came in off the street, and they put a robe on him and brought him up there. But when I came up to the front, I said, this is it. It's all or nothing. Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. Bam! He was there. I knew it instantly. Instantaneously, I felt changed. I knew I was a Christian. I was so thrilled. I walked out of there and could not feel the floor as I walked. My feet could not feel the floor. And I went out and started telling her, I'm a Christian. They were going, oh, really? Okay. What? We thought we all were already. And, you know, and nobody knew I did. And it's like, and ever since then, God has been so faithful because he was faithful to guide my life in that very moment. And he said to me, serve my people. Yeah. I heard it. It's like, I'd never heard something from God, a direction from God. Not like a voice, but you know, that voice inside your head kind of thing, serve my people. And so I determined I would. I would be a Roman Catholic priest, and I would give up ever having ownership of things or ever having the ability to call my own life, and I would give up marriage and family and sex and all of those things that are driving so much of what we do when we're young. And that was awesome, you guys. It was awesome. And it still is. Now, that's not the path that I went down. Of course, Jesus led me. He said to me, feed my sheep. That was a vision that I had, and he was at the Sea of Galilee, and he saw me coming, just like with Peter in John 21, and he looked up, and he said, Tom, feed my sheep. Take care of my flock. And that has been the only intent of my heart ever since that moment. I've not needed to wonder what my purpose was. I've not needed to wonder what I'm supposed to do with my life. I've never wondered because God said, and that's what I've done, and that's what I'm doing right now as I speak to you, and it's what I'm going to continue doing till the day I die. I am not retiring from following Jesus. I am not retiring from feeding the sheep. I'm not retiring from the things that God called me to and made me. I'm just retiring from the way that I've been doing it, and I'm going to do a different way in a new season of my life, and that's it. But God has been so faithful, so faithful, so faithful, dear ones. I just turned 70. Did you know that? Come on, let's do yes. Because there's a reason why this is so important. It's the reason why it's so important that I turn 70, and I'm telling everybody, I'm 70! My grandkids are getting tired of it. Are you getting tired of it? You guys getting tired of it? No? No? Okay, cool. Good. Hey, guess what, guys? Guess what?
You're
70. Yes! I'm 70, and it's so exciting because there was a time in my life when I was told I wouldn't even make it to 45. So I wouldn't be 70, I wouldn't be 60, I wouldn't be 50. I'm not even going to make 45. The doctor, the neurologist showed me the SPECT scan that they did that measures the activity of the brain. And he said, your activity in your brain's shutting down. It doesn't have the yellows and the oranges and the reds. It's dark. It's shadowed. He said, it's going to go fast. When you get this at your age, it goes very quickly. 6 months to a nursing home, 12 to 18 months, and you're gone. He said, we can't do anything for you. Go home and get your house in order. Quoting the Bible. I don't know if he realized it, but he was. Go home and get your house in my house in order. I've got an 8, 10, 12, and 14-year-old at home. What am I supposed to do with that? But this is the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God is that 18 months later, when I was supposed to be dead, I was asking someone to marry me. She said yes. But she also said, when I said to her, I don't know if I'm going to have 6 months. I don't know if we should do this. And she said, Tom, if I can have even 6 months with you, it'll be worth it. So, okay. I was going to say, so. Like, was it? 25 years, yes, and counting. Oh, my goodness. So when I look at this and I think of the faithfulness of God, I think how good it has been, the things that he has done for me. And I get this picture from Hebrews that I felt the Lord wanted me to share with you today about his faithfulness helping us to run the race. In chapter 12 of Hebrews, beginning in verse 1, the author writes, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's important. The race marked out for us, meaning that Paul is thinking, or the author, I think it's Paul, that Paul is thinking of lanes that were marked out for running, okay? And you got them marked out, and your lane, and you're looking at the one next to you, and you're like, well, wait a minute, my lane's got all these rocks in it, and theirs is clear, and mine's got a dip, and theirs doesn't. And the thing is, run the race marked out for you. Don't look at the guy on the left or the one on the right. Don't wonder why yours has this and theirs doesn't. God has a purpose, and God is faithful. Just run the one that you've been given. He marked it out for you. Maybe because he is going to rejoice in how you take those rocks. Maybe because he knows that they can't. We don't know what God has done, and we don't know why, but we run the race marked out for us with perseverance because, dear ones, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And in the previous chapter, he goes through and he lists all the witnesses that we're surrounded by: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. And then he goes on to all. Rahab the prostitute is one of those who surrounds us, and because of her faith and her testimony of her life, we are encouraged to keep running our race. And when I look at my assembly of people in the cloud, I don't mean that like, you know, but, you know, in the cloud, this one, this cloud, not that other cloud. When I look at that and I think of St. Francis, he is one of those whose life I look at and I think he got it. He got the treasure and he gave up everything to get it. And it's like, because I see him, it's when I'm feeling weak, when I'm feeling doubt, when I'm feeling like, right, giving up. It's like, no, he did that. Mother Teresa, she went into the gutters of Calcutta, India, and she picked people up as they were dying. And people said, what difference can you make? That for every one you pick up, there's 100 who are dying. And she said, it matters to this one. I said, let me live my life like that. When I'm starting to wonder what I'm doing, when I'm starting to wonder if it's having any difference, when I wonder if there's anybody out there who ever got touched by God, by what I've done, it's like, if it mattered to that one, then it mattered. These are the surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses. These are the people who remind us, give it all up and you'll get it all. Right? Yeah. Give up your life and you'll discover it. Hang on to your life and you'll lose it. And these are the people whose lives did that. Oh my goodness, Corrie Ten Boom. She was in a concentration camp. Her sister and her dad died in the concentration camp. And there's a guard who was cruel to all of them. And when she got out, she went into Germany to minister to the German people, which is crazy. And then at one of her talks, this guard shows up that looked over her and her sister going into the showers and cruelly treated them in such a way that her sister died. And he comes up to her at the end of her talk and says, God has forgiven my sins. Can you? And he held out his hand. Can you? Can you? And she couldn't. And she said, God, I can't do this. But you're asking me to. So she said, she lifted up her arm like a piece of wood and just held it out. And when he grabbed it, the Holy Spirit shot through her shoulder and through her arm in a way that she had never felt before in her life or since. It was the most powerful act of God because she gave forgiveness. She didn't even have it in her heart to give, but she obeyed God and reached out her hand. And bam. Now, when I can't forgive someone, when I'm struggling with forgiveness, she is in my, I'm surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, right? I'm surrounded by Corrie Ten Boom. So Mother Teresa and Francis and Corrie Ten Boom are all looking at me saying, yeah, Tom, you know, right? That's what it means. Since we're surrounded by so great of a cloud of witnesses, since we have all these people who are speaking to our lives, then let us throw off everything that's hindering us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race. Come on. But beyond that, there are others who are in that great cloud of witnesses. Like my mom, in a moment of desperation, crying out to God for her children. Or Nancy Schneider, who in her 70s led a youth revolt, well, revival. And Annie Nilicka, who had MS and suffered greatly daily and only ever said to me, Tom, isn't God good? isn't he just so good, Tom? And I'm like, yes, Annie, he is. But as I come here to this time of my ministry, I realize that I am surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and it's you. And this is what the Lord wanted me to say. We have far more to do with each other's perseverance than we realize. But I have been with you, and I have seen you when you held your baby, who died the same day she was born. And even though that stirs up questions of why, and no answer comes back, it's hard, but you held on. You held on. So when I'm feeling weak, when I'm struggling, I don't have to look at Moses. I can look at you. And I do. And I keep running because you are. Does that make sense? I've watched you face cancer in your 20s when everyone else was going on with their lives. Yours was on hold. And though you contended with others that cancer not be in the lymph nodes, it was. And you had to face, right? Why? Never got an answer back. Oh, there's an answer. The answer is, I'm with you. And you held on. You held on. And when I get weak and I'm struggling, I remember you. And I keep running. Kristen, it's been hard. I know I always make you cry. I set out to do that when I see you come in. How am I going to make Kristen cry today? But you held on. You're holding on as you walk this out. Yes, she said he's got me. Thank you. And Brian, brother, how much I love you. And how much you have caused me to see that no matter how much we go through or suffer as you have, and man, oh man, oh man, has it been rough. Lori, both of you, but you're just holding on. You're just holding on. Here you are here today, giving God praise for what he's done, right? When I get weak, I can look at you guys. Brian, he's running the race. I have no excuses for dropping out. Or you, Lori. And I could go through the room and I could point out others, but there's some of you who just show up every Sunday. You just show up every Sunday for the last 36 years. Here you are. And you say yes to whatever it is that God asks of you. And when I start to feel like I'm working too hard or I'm doing this or I can't do that, I think of, they would have said yes. And I say yes. And I keep running. And I keep going. And I've seen you in all of the ways that you had to wrestle with God I stood by your side in the hospital while your spouse took their last breath. I've prayed for you as a 20-year-old giving your kidney away to a cousin who needed it. I've prayed for you in becoming a missionary when you were just one of the garage kids that was hanging out here, and all of a sudden you're standing in Haiti saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do, and giving the rest of your life to that. Because you found the treasure that's worth selling everything in order to obtain, and worth selling more in order to maintain. Many of you have experienced many difficult things, and yet you love him still. Peter was amazed at that in his letter when he said to the people there that he's writing to, though you have not seen him, you love him. See, Peter saw Jesus. Peter saw Jesus killed. Peter saw Jesus resurrected. Peter saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. There's no doubt in him. But he's talking to people who believe because they heard the gospel. Though you have not seen him like I have, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you're filled with agaliao. That's the Greek, my favorite word in Greek. I want you to remember it. I'm serious. I will feel like my ministry's been a failure. If you don't know what someone says, what is agaliao, you'll say, I know what that means. It means very much jumping joy. All right? Very much jumping joy. Jesus said he had very much jumping joy when he saw the disciples go out and do his work, and the Holy Spirit worked through them, and I can't imagine Jesus jumping on the side of the road, right? Just giddy, but that's what he says he was. And Peter says that you are filled with that same joy, that same, he calls it an inexpressible and glorious joy, because you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You're holding on to the treasure. And I've seen some of you, I'll be honest with you, some of us have gone through traumatic things and difficult things by our own sin. Yes, dear ones, there have been sinners in this room. I'm not going to look like, because, you know, I might dwell on someone and everyone will go, whoa. There have been sinners in this room. Serious sinners, including the one that you're looking at. But like someone coming out of a house covered with ash and smelling like smoke, we're still holding the treasure. I still have it. I still have it. So that not even sin and Satan's accusations and the defeat can steal that away from us, because we can come back, because the treasure is always good to be cashed in with God and say, I repent, I am sorry, I acknowledge what I did, and Jesus says, you are forgiven, my blood has cleansed you. Hallelujah, the treasure stands. The treasure stands and will stand for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. And I've seen you do that, and you inspire me. I'm encouraged by your faith. Those of you who believe, and you just, some of you, it's you didn't do any. There was a lady in our church. Do you know who Betty Kemp was? Anyone?
No one?
You do. Okay, I figured someone back there might. Betty Kemp was Scott's grandma, and she was raising her grandson, and you didn't know her name. And she used to come in her dress every Sunday in her heels, and she would have her little purse, and she would sit right way back there, right? And she never said much at all. And there are many times, dear ones, that I just walked right by her. I'll be honest with you, okay? You know, she's a great little old lady, but, you know, she's very quiet. And I just walked by Betty. Their house caught on fire and burned down completely, and Betty died in the fire. And I was talking to Scott, and I said, Scott, tell me about your grandma. And he said, well, she prayed a lot. I said, really? How do you know that? And he said, I hear it through the walls. She prayed out loud. She wanted to make sure God heard. I said, really? And he said, yeah, every night. And I said, well, what'd she pray about? He said, well, she'd pray for me. And then he looked at me and he goes, and she prayed for you. And, you know, that just really was like, God, for all I know, like my mom's prayers, for all I know, those prayers averted terrible things, strengthened me when I needed it, covered me when I wasn't being, you know, diligent myself. And I thought, my goodness, there was a woman sitting in our church, you guys, faithfully interceding, faithfully, like, and how many of us are, how, right? And someone was praying in the sanctuary this last week, and they said they kept looking at these blocks, like wondering, how come they haven't covered those blocks up? Well, this is Bradley Upworth. We don't cover our blocks up. We don't change our windows. These are cool. And our blinds. Our blinds are from 1950-something. You can tell. Right? But she said that she just kept looking at these blocks, and she kept saying, she's like, these are us. These are us. And Pastor Tom's one of them. He's a blockhead. And I'm one of them. But here, if you're one of these blocks, you've got two blocks holding you up, and you're holding up two blocks. And everything's working together. So one of those blocks is Betty. And how many people is she lifting up? Or did she lift up? And how does that work then in our lives? It means that we're covered in such a beautiful way by one another, that we really are the reason why we can all keep running. We all keep running the race because we can keep looking and seeing the other ones who are running the race despite all of their struggles and difficulties and traumas and everything else and sin and all of it, and we keep holding on to that treasure and we keep running, you guys. And we pray for one another, and it's beautiful. A beautiful thing is taking place here so that we can have the joy of the Lord. And I have seen you struggle with things, but I've also seen you rejoice in things, like the look on your face when you came out of the baptismal water. Right? The looks on your faces when you say, I do, to your beloved, Kristen Larry. In worship, in food pantry, in prayer ministry, Encounter God Saturday, even just saying good morning. Oh, I can't tell you, this is weird, but even just to say, good morning, Melissa, how are you doing today? And she smiles, and it's like there's a little joy aroma coming out, and I'm encouraged. It's like, let's keep doing this. Come on, right? There's a spiritual thing that happens in every good morning and every handshake and every hug, and it's beautiful. And God says, because we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's keep running this race. Let's not let go of it. Like these blocks, we stand upon others and we bear up others above us. And it's the purpose of our creation. Creation, God created for a purpose. And the purpose was to have a relationship with us and for his relationship for us to spread out amongst one another. And he formed the great commandment around that. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors as yourself, as the evidence of your love of God, as the playing out of your love of God. God says, because I did all these things for you, in 1 John, because I did all these things for you, because Jesus died for you, therefore you should love one another. He didn't say love me back. He didn't say tithe. He said you should take the love that you've gotten from me and express it all to everyone else. And that is what he's asked you to do, and that is what he's called us here to look at in 1 Thessalonians. I want to tell you what my retirement is all about, besides being grandpa and being 70. One of five. Right? It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope What is our joy, or what is the crown in which we will glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus? What is it? What is Tom Eckhart's hope? What is Tom Eckhart's joy? What is the crown that Tom Eckhart is going to have in the glory of the presence of the Lord when he returns? Isn't it you? Indeed, you are Tom Eckhart's glory and his joy, meaning that everything that I could do to possibly be an influence in you spiritually, anything that you do with that, anything at all, it is to my joy, it is to my glory. It's like, way to go, way to go, way to go. Praise God, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. There's more, there's more, there's more. There's more treasure. There's more treasure. Don't stop now. Keep going, keep going, keep going. So that I can take my place in the wall. And I want to live the rest of my, you know, this next season of my life that I have. I want to live it in order to be someone else's cloud of witnesses. I want to be in your cloud. I want to be somebody that you can say, you know, whenever I get weary, whenever I struggle, whenever I'm confused about something, I think about Tom, and I just get more confused. No. I think about Tom, and it was like, I want to have at least some piece of influence in your life as someone who loved Jesus and met him and knew him and heard his voice when he said, serve my people, when he said, feed my sheep. And the last thing he said to me, and it wasn't the voice inside my head. We all have a voice inside of our head when we think or when we read, you know that voice. It's your own voice, but it's just inside your head. But this was not my voice. It was a voice that was outside. And he said to me, in a time before I asked her to marry me, when I didn't know what was going to happen with my brain, when I didn't know if I could go forward, and he just said, I'm with you, Tom. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. I want that to come back to you. I want that to come back to you, that God spoke and said, he's with us. He's with us, and he knows our name. He knows your name, and he is with you. And I want you to think of that, and I want to be part of that cloud of witnesses, dear ones. That would be my crown. That would be my glory, and that would be my joy. Nothing more than that, that you would run your race with perseverance, holding on to the prize, holding on to the treasure, and finishing the race, so that you could say with me and with Paul, I fought the fight, I finished the race, I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will reward me on that day. That's it, guys. It's all that matters. It's all that there is. That's why we were created. Until we have our created purpose in our hearts, we will never be content. We will never be completely happy. We will never know pure joy. It will escape us. So Jesus, right now, you're in the room, and you are so faithful. You are so good. And I thank you that you are here to say to every person that came today, I am your treasure. I am the treasure. You will never, ever be happy or content or fulfilled without me. And this is all or nothing. This is an all or nothing proposition. I'm not saying take a little or add a little. I'm saying throw it all down and pick me up. Lose your life and you will find it. And I'm faithful. And if it helps at all, think about Tom Eckhart and think about the faithfulness that I showed him. He didn't deserve it. He really didn't deserve it. But I was faithful to him. And I'll be faithful to you, because I'm real and I'm here. And all it takes is for you to say yes. Just say yes to me. Just say yes. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.